Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a podcast that we do here at Bethany to help us dig deeper into our Sunday messages. I am Tammy DeLau, and I'm excited. I'm joined with Glenna Leonardson today. She has served here faithfully for years, and we miss you here.
So it's great. So nice to be
it's
back.
It's great to have you back. So, and Pastor David Baxley, who will be ending our series in John. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for 27 weeks, you guys. So super exciting. We are going to be talking about chapter 21. Yeah. This is going to be my little flyover before you do your flyover.
Oh, there you go.
Totally. Paul could have ended the book. John could have ended the book. There we go. Chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe the Son of God. And by believing them, you may have life in his name. Mic drop, done.
Right, yeah.
You know,
so
like
true.
Totally could have been done. But we have a God who shows us through this relationship with Peter how he intimately loves us. And so that's what you're doing this week, is showing this specific relationship.
Yeah, again, mm-hmm. it's one of the things I love so much about John. He does things so much with these relational dynamics. Mm-hmm. I think of the woman at the well. I think of the woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. I think of the woman that anointed his feet. I think of our Easter message last week, where we mm-hmm. saw how he specifically was coming and engaging with, you know, Mary and Thomas and Peter and John. And now mm-hmm. this last chapter, I made that joke about, you know, Peter and John's dynamic, but it's mm-hmm. funny, like John really focuses on Peter. Mm-hmm. Once we get to chapter 13, man, Peter's popping up. Mm-hmm. Here we're coming back again to Peter in 18 and then 19 and then mm-hmm. back to Peter again now in 20 and 21. Like mm-hmm. it's really interesting to see how that's happening, because I think he's weaving for us a story of like kind of like you said, but not just God's love, but his mm-hmm. redemptive mm-hmm. process, mm-hmm. not just for salvation, though salvation is the beginning of that, but also recognizing more the sanctification redemptive process, mm-hmm. how he's constantly reconciling mm-hmm. as we fall away, and mm-hmm. what he wants to do to keep mm-hmm. bringing us back.
So we see that reconciliation around the fire. Mm. But if we go back to where you start, we see the fish and the fishing. And I know we had an interesting preaching team this week, because I am the symbolism queen and you two are my logical thinkers that sometimes think I carry that a little far. But you do see some symbolism in that.
Yeah. Well, okay. let's do real quick, like a 30-second flyover of the previous stuff.
Okay.
You know, a big thing to understand as we're coming into this is remembering what we talked about Good Friday.
Yes.
What we talked about in chapters 13, Jesus predicts Peter, he's going to deny me. And Peter's like, no way, I'll never deny you, Jesus. I'll let anybody else was, I won't do it. And Jesus is like, yeah, you're going to deny me. And then chapter 18 and 19, we see the story of Jesus' arrest. And in chapter 18, we actually see where Peter denies Jesus three times. Mm-hmm. And John is coming to resolve that here. Like, mm-hmm. so just, we got to know that backstory just a little bit there.
So now
we come and Jesus and John, I love how you said that, how the story could have ended, mm-hmm. but it almost like he picks up this, like mm-hmm. this final epilogue or something right here.
Oh, by mm-hmm. the way, I need to finish this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way.
You need closure on this.
And so several pieces of the symbolism here that is so beautiful, and I think you had mentioned one of them to me, Tammy, and I love this one first, is just how Jesus comes back to find Peter where Jesus originally found Peter.
I love that.
And I do too. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Peter, for whatever reason, in the middle of all this, now Jesus isn't walking life with the disciples like he had been before. He's popping in. Mm-hmm. Like John tells us, this is just the third time that Jesus had showed up to them. And now Jesus shows up. And what are these guys going to do? What are they doing now? They had been 3 years walking with Jesus. Peter's like, I don't know really what I'm doing anymore. Mm-hmm. He goes back to what he knows to do. And he mm-hmm. goes back to fishing. And just like, I'm going to come and I'm going to call him again. Mm-hmm. Like that is so beautiful to me.
Second call.
Yes, and he does it with the same miracle.
Yep.
He did. Matthew tells us that when he called Peter, that he did the miracle with the fish, filling it up. Mm-hmm. And here we go, a same miracle again. But I will tell you my favorite part of this. Okay. And I don't know why this is really getting me.
Okay.
But every time I read this, I type it. When it says right here, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him and he plunged into the sea mm-hmm. since they were not far. Like, I don't know what it is. Like this picture of there he is, finally. Mm-hmm. It keeps getting to me. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost like there's something God's doing in my own heart in this, mm-hmm. because I'm just like, I can feel what Peter might have even felt. Like, mm-hmm. knowing what he had done, which hadn't been resolved yet. We're going to get to the resolution mm-hmm. of that. And yet, he still loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. He misses him. There he is. Like, and he just dives in the water, like, in total abandon. I mean, like, mm-hmm. Peter does so many stupid things, too. But total mm-hmm. abandonment, this beautiful moment. He just loves Jesus so much. He's just like, I'm running. Mm-hmm. I'm swimming, in this case, right after Jesus. And, I think what the symbolism, very much so, he may have connected it. Memories mm-hmm. flood back. The first time Jesus says, follow me. And he's mm-hmm. like, there he is. And he just runs right back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I also think that it's interesting to think about what I would have been feeling and thinking if I was in their shoes. Okay, mm. now Jesus, I saw Jesus be crucified. He's appeared. I know he's back. Mm-hmm. He's come back yeah. to life. Mm-hmm. So he's appeared to us. Mm-hmm. John says this is the third time. Mm-hmm. So I still think they're kind of like, well, he's given us some instructions. Some of the other gospels say, you know, when he appeared, he gave them instructions, but now what? How? What mm-hmm. do I do next? You know, so I think in my mind, I just have that emotion. And so then when he sees Jesus, uh-huh. it's like, oh, yeah. good. yeah, I've been wondering what to do next.
Yeah, right?
Oh, there yes. you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mm-hmm. think there's some of that too. Just like until the Holy Spirit, you know, comes, there. I think they're just in this kind of, well, I know what mm-hmm. I know what I should mm-hmm. be doing, but I'm not quite sure, and I'm not sure how. And you know,
it's almost like kids in the car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are yeah. we there yet? Like yeah. they're trying to figure out.
But even
out
the ascension gives more direction what they had at this
right.
point,
mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Like, all right, I'm going now. I'm not coming
right.
back.
Right.
Next mm-hmm. time you see me, it's gonna be a big deal. yeah. But for now, here's your mission.
Yes.
You know, and now go wait for me.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and I'll come to that soon. Like mm-hmm. these moments, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, there seems to be this. All right, should we go fishing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I guess that's what we know mm-hmm. how to do.
Let's go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sounds fun.
And that he had his buddies that joined him. Yeah. You know, that thought that was cool too. Well, I know when we study the Old Testament, we see them erecting pillars to remember things, and mm-hmm. so I just see Jesus' faithfulness. Like, remember, you were fishing, and I met you there, and mm-hmm. and there was a miracle. Mm-hmm. And remember, and I'm here, and I'm doing it again. And so I just think it's so gracious of Jesus to do
well,
that.
Well, and the completion of this, which mm-hmm. we'll kind of walk through a little bit, but in Matthew, the last thing he says to them is, after he does this miracle, was, follow me. Mm-hmm. And it says they immediately just jumped up and followed him. Mm-hmm. And twice in this text,
we're gonna see
Jesus
this.
Goes to Peter, mm-hmm. first in verse, after he's done this reconciliation, which we'll walk through in just a second, mm-hmm. 19, after saying all this, he told him, follow me. Mm-hmm. And then Peter does this other dumb little comparison game with John for a moment.
Which that'd be fun if we have time to.
And then Jesus rebukes him for this, mm-hmm. but then mm-hmm. says again, follow me. Like, I just see Jesus keep saying, oh, okay, focus, follow me.
Yeah.
Right? Let's do this. Oh, whoa, come follow me. Yep. Like, and then the hard part is, whoa, you have actually walked away from me.
Right.
We're going to need to go through some hard stuff mm-hmm. here, but I still want you to follow me.
Well, mm-hmm. and that's what I see. We start with the follow me. Then Jesus says he's going somewhere. Peter says, I'm following you. I'll go even if all the rest of them don't go. He doesn't follow. And then he repeats, follow me. And so mm-hmm. this follow me theme, or I will follow you wherever you go, is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's good.
So let's set that up. So the next section of verses mm-hmm. 15, Jesus begins this section, which I'm not going to read it. So if you're not sure, hit pause really quick and go back and read that section if you don't remember it. But where Jesus begins this kind of do you love me thing with Peter. Mm-hmm. Three times he asks this question. We see again how this connects to the three times Peter denied Jesus. But there's the two big pieces, which is the first way he asked it, Peter, do you really love me more than these? And that's the thing you just referenced. Peter was so adamant mm-hmm. that he would love Jesus more. And then
wherever he went, he would follow.
And, mm-hmm. and so in a sense, like, he elevated himself the mm-hmm. highest and fell the farthest mm-hmm. and crashed. And the more I've read this, mm-hmm. and it's in my notes now, but it wasn't when I first started writing. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like a in-your-face moment, which is like, Peter, do you really love me mm-hmm. more than these? Because mm-hmm. what did you do? Mm-hmm. And I noticed Peter's response. He doesn't say, yeah, I really love you more than these. He just says, this time, I really love you. Mm-hmm. Like there's a humbling moment. And I'm sure that was the first moment of Sting. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is bringing him back. And you alluded to a real beautiful symbolism of that as Peter's having this conversation, that he would have been flashing back to his moments of denial. And I wanted you to speak to that because I know you really like that.
I just think it's very gracious of God that he asked him three times and he did deny him three times. And for me, even as we've studied it this week, I thought, do you love me more than these? That Jesus was saying, do you love me more than you love all your people? Because so oftentimes we love our people more than we love. And so for just to walk it this week and to be studying it and to seeing, no, he's saying, do you really love me more than these people love me? Mm-hmm. And that's where his fall began, when he thought he was better than the rest of the disciples. Mm-hmm. So I just see so much graciousness that God is allowing him to see what really happened. It's easy to think, yeah, I'm sorry, but to really see how ugly the sin was, there's a gift in that, that he was not healed from a cold. He was healed from cancer at that moment.
And it's a beautiful thing. It keeps going. It even gets to where that Jesus keeps going on this. It eventually grieves Peter. Mm-hmm. And LT says, like, he was hurt. And Glenna, you were really, this is an area you wanted us to kind of unpack a little bit, because there's this really complicated, messy dynamic in our spiritual lives when it comes to the fact that we know and this, like, Jesus needs to come and deal with our sin. Mm-hmm. And there's an element, and we talk about in the message more, this the grieving of our sin is important, yet not shame and guilt. Like, I just, you have such a great way of talking about this.
Well, I think many people come from, you know, the weight and guilt of a legalistic spiritual background.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when we think of sin, we think of guilt. Mm. And to me, guilt is like this heavy, I'm a horrible person. I you know, I'm not redeemable. You know, and because I'm bad here, I'm probably bad here and here and here. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, this just heavy weight where I think we have to grieve. We have to understand that we should grieve over the sin because God loves me. Mm-hmm. He's poured out his grace on me and be able to say, no, that basic guilt condemnation is coming from our enemy, Satan, the accuser. And I'm going to reject that, but it's okay to sit here in, but I know that I grieved the one who loves me, the one who created me. Mm-hmm. I know that I've done something that I shouldn't do. And I need that to lead me to a repentance, not a, okay, God, I'm feeling okay. I did bad. Now I'm naughty. I have to go. You know, it's very subtle, and I think it's a very hard thing for us to find that line and to reject the condemnation and embrace the grief.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, and maybe the difference, and that's why we got to keep going back to this, is what is the message we're hearing when it's condemnation? There's an accusation of our identity, of who we are. Mm-hmm. When it's the Spirit wanting to grieve us, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, to have a godly grief that produces repentance that leads to salvation. Okay, so when that's what the Spirit wants to do, we don't hear an attack of our identity. We realize the depth of our sin. Mm-hmm. I am not this disgusting person to God.
Right.
Though the reality is, I am a terrible sinner. Right. I am actually a really terrible sinner, but that's not who God sees me to be. Mm-hmm. And so but yet I have sinned and grieved my Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I should hate that because I love Jesus.
So as people are listening to this, how do we recognize the difference? For me, I think when it's the accuser, I want to run and hide from people, from God. When it is the Holy Spirit convicting me, I am not ashamed to share with my friends or to run into Jesus' arms. And so for me, does that resonate with you too? Because I think people are like, well, how do you know the difference? You know,
what I always tell people is, and the kind of the resolution I have been able to make with this is there's a difference between that this condemnation, I'm a terrible person mm-hmm. feeling, and that press on your heart by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's just gently pressing, saying, did you see what you did? Mm-hmm. Did you mm-hmm. see what you did? That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He didn't go, wow, you were a terrible mm-hmm. person. You were mm-hmm. a jerk. You sat there by that fire and you said mm-hmm. you didn't know me and I was looking right at you. And, you know, and, you know, he right. didn't do any of that. That's mm-hmm. the condemnation from our enemy mm-hmm. where Jesus just keeps saying, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Do you love me? Does that remind you of what you did? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is gentle. Mm-hmm. It's gentle. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just keeps up until mm-hmm. until I acknowledge, oh yeah, oh mm-hmm. yeah.
Because the other side of it is we do not want to feel this accusatory condemnation, mm-hmm. right? That's not the Spirit of God. But the other side that we also want to do is just like, oh yeah, I sinned. Okay, I'm good. God, please forgive me. Now we move on. Like, we don't want to actually deal with sin. And I think what Jesus is teaching us here, and something we see mm-hmm. echo throughout the rest of the Bible, Old and New Testament, mm-hmm. is that though reconciliation is offered, there's a restoring process.
Right.
Because part of that is we need to really get to a place of seeing our sin. Mm-hmm. We need to really get to, and if I'm so quick to say, ah, I sinned, but God, I'm so sorry. And I know I've been this way in my own life. So I'm mm-hmm. raising my hand as this guy that battles with this.
Or even people are like, but God forgives me. How many testimonies do you hear? So I know God can forgive me. Whatever I do, God will forgive me. And there isn't even remorse for what you did beforehand.
And consider the parallel path of the two things in this text. It's grief and love. Mm-hmm. If I really love someone, when I know what I've done to them, mm-hmm. that grieves me. Mm-hmm. Not in condemnation and shame. It grieves me because I love them.
Right.
Like that's a sign. This thing of grief here, I think, with Peter mm-hmm. was, yes, I think the way Jesus did it poked at him mm-hmm. until he felt that grief, mm-hmm. but it was also an evidence of godly grief mm-hmm. that was leading to repentance mm-hmm. in the life of Peter. Like, that's because of what Jesus started with, love. Mm-hmm. You really love me. Here's what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. But if you really love me,
yeah,
this should grieve you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's what God was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the love aspect is also the going back to the guilt thing is also part of that, you know, is I think that if we don't acknowledge what's going on and we don't acknowledge it because we care about that person, then yeah, we just blow it off. We just, mm-hmm. you know, swipe it away and go, well, that's okay.
Well, it becomes behavioral instead of relational. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim, you said that at the beginning of the podcast, how this is a relational narrative. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. a behavioral one. And we talked about that back in earlier in John in chapter 14, 15, and we're wrestling with abiding and loving all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Jesus says there to us is reminding us to, he gets that section, if you love me, you will obey me. Mm-hmm. And you remember, and like when we talked about that one, why does he start with love? And same reason he starts with love with Peter mm-hmm. here. You've got to love me if you're going to obey me. Mm-hmm. Yes, Peter, I believe that you love me, but there's more love in your heart that's needed. Mm-hmm. And the only way that love with God grows is when we, and John Piper describes it this way, he's really challenged me in my life, is when we run after to know Jesus more. Mm-hmm. If we run right to I just got to start doing these behaviors, mm-hmm. we're going to keep falling on our face.
Yep.
Peter was all about just fixing stuff. Mm-hmm. He was all about, yep. like, he sees a problem, I'm going to fix it. Right. What did he do in the garden? Jesus is being arrested. He told me he was going to be arrested. Yeah, but I don't care. I'll fix the problem. Sword, head, ear, off. You know, like, this is Peter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus is like, no, you've got to slow down, Peter. Mm-hmm. And you've got to love me. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so often, especially those of us who are in leadership, we think that we need to feed the sheep. We need to feed the sheep. But we're seeing the sheep cannot be fed until there is love first. Mm-hmm. So often, we even in our Christian walk put the, you know, mm-hmm. the cart before the horse, and we're gonna go do, but we can't do and be effective if we are not taking time to mm-hmm. love Jesus. So,
and yet, yeah. and yet, the two do come together.
Yes.
Like that's important too. Mm-hmm. To say I love Jesus when I'm not really caring about obeying or living for Him, mm-hmm. would also be a sign that I'm not really loving Jesus. I don't really love Jesus. But at the same time, when I just go and do, but it's not an overflow out of love for Jesus, people are going to see, and we see this in the lives of Christians. I just want to go to this to a moment. I've grown up in the church, and I see often the amount of people I see in the church that, especially the longer they've been a Christian, their face is scowling. You just see the bitterness. You see the sadness or the disappointment of life. And I just want to say, like, if you've loved Jesus for 25, 30, 40, 50 years, why can't I see the love of Jesus on your face? And you can probably tell me all the things you did right over the years. I did all these Bible studies and I've read all these texts and I know all these scriptures. And yet you're also the grumpiest person that someone can talk to. And you're one of the crabbiest people coming out of something that you don't like happening in your life or the church. It's not the love of Jesus. That's just obedience without love. And obedience without love is what produces legalism.
Yes.
Obedience without love produces condemnation. And the thing is, if you've gotten used to it, you stop condemning yourself. You know who you start condemning?
Everyone around you.
Everyone else. Ooh, obedience without love, when we've gotten so used to that, we skip condemning ourselves and we just move on to condemning everyone else. And that's why Jesus has to, like, boom, hit that in us right away, or we become pretty, we might be Christians. We might know Jesus. But there's so much more.
But as you speak to seeing that in those who we've seen maybe walk with the Lord, I've also seen the opposite, that those who have walked with the Lord and love the Lord, they are grieved over their sin, where I will hear a story from one of my elder saints, and I'll be like, that wasn't that big of a deal. And there is there is repentance and there is sadness. As if she had cheated on her husband. And that wasn't the case, because they're so broken.
It would be on a scale so much less than that.
Like as they're sharing with, I need to confess. And I'm like, well, that wasn't a big deal. But they are so broken that they disobeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, that they feel the grief that deeply. And not the condemnation. But wanting to hear and obey their Savior.
And I don't want to just say older saints. You know,
this happens with...
Yeah, because I just want to really be... I'm one of those guys that I see that in myself. I just want to be very, very honest about that, where it's easy for me to go right to behavior. Because that's what everyone else is going to look at anyways. And I can be a natural people pleaser in that sense, and want to perform for people around me, that I tend to do that. And then, and you guys know this as my close friends, Josh there behind the camera knows this too, right? Like you guys can look at me and say, ooh, someone's doing things a lot of flesh right now, because you're jumpy, you're a little crabby, right? And you guys are good friends. You'll tell me that. And it reminds me, I got to get back and love Jesus.
Oh, that's good.
So let's look at this love thing, though, from a little bit different angle. If we look at the fact that, in general, most people love for what they can get. It's not, I love you. What? How can I care for you, serve you, you know, be your soft place to land? It's, I love you. I'll do some of that stuff because that's what it, because it gets stuff for me. And I think that's our general, in society in general, I think many people operate that way. They would never admit it, you're but they operate that way. And I think sometimes that's how we get with God. I love you because you give me all this stuff. You'll give me heaven. You know, you'll make my life easy because, you know, I'm good. And, you know, go down the list, rather than, I love you, how can I serve you? It's a different view. And I think that that's where the repentance then comes, when it's the right kind of love. It's not the love that says, what can I'll love you, you know, because I get things from you.
And then when you say you're sorry, it's more like, oh, I'm so sorry, because I still want you to be happy with me, so I can still
have what I want.
And I think that's what you're talking about. And you're right. That is, I think that's a normalcy in a lot of love. You know, if we were to be honest about probably even when we first got married, our understanding of
a tit for tat kind of
love. But even our understanding of our love for our spouse, like, it's not that we did not love them, but we went in, there was so much give and take going in that, right? We got a lot out of them. They fed us. They gave us. They met needs. That's one of the reasons we feel safe with them. We want to be with them. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, because you're this person that seems to really meet a lot of my needs too.
Right.
Like, and I love you, and I want to meet your needs, but there's this really much so. But as relationships mature, and especially as you watch older couples, one of the things I love seeing is And I saw this in my grandfather and my grandmother. My grandmother fell. She broke her hip. She became bedridden. Mm. For years, my grandfather loved her and served her, and he got nothing out from that mm-hmm. in the sense of something from her. He didn't meet her. And I saw him weep with how much he loved her. Mm. I saw him so sad that she would experience these hard times, and it would cause more work from him, more hardship on him. And I saw him weep, not for the hardship on himself. He did not care. Mm-hmm. But for what it was to my grandmother. And I just watched that going, that is love. Mm-hmm. Now, were they like that when they first got married? I don't know. I wasn't born yet. I wasn't there. But that's a maturing of love. And I think mm-hmm. that exists in our Christian life. I guess that's yes. why I wanted to say that. Yes. Like to recognize that some people do get saved. Like, I don't want to go to hell. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I believe in this stuff. And yep. whoa, mm-hmm. I want a better life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those elements are true. So it's not those things are true, but for our love to mature, to experience growth in our life, to experience to be able to walk this the way we see Peter end up becoming as a man of God, all the way to preaching at Pentecost, 3,000 people getting saved, leading the church. His love for Jesus had to deepen mm-hmm. in that process because he couldn't keep doing those things in the way maybe he first came to Jesus, or even some of the things that was still in him at that point of mm-hmm. denial. Like he had to deal with that a lot more in his own mm-hmm. relationship, but it matured and the fruit
right.
of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I really think to some extent we are seeing the beginning of that maturity of the love.
Mm-hmm. In this section right here.
Yeah.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe why God keeps pressing on that.
Yes.
And I think that this is a challenge. This right in itself here is a challenge. Where does my love fall on that scale? Have I been a Christian for all these years and I'm still kind of in the what can I get from God stage? Mm-hmm. Or have I come to know God so mm-hmm. well that I love him more and more to the point that I see my sin in a totally different way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're hitting this. And I'll mention this in the message Sunday because it's a big piece. The evidence of love is a grief over sin. Mm-hmm. We don't often think of that. Like how many times have you heard that said, right? Mm-hmm. The evidence of love is grief over our sin. Mm-hmm. We go a lot of other directions, but that's part of what Jesus is saying. The evidence of your love for me is that you are going to hate this sin. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt you, and you're going to want to walk away from that.
So mm-hmm. if that's the case, then every time Peter responds with, yes, I love you, yes, I love you, when he felt the grief, that's when you think the real love began?
Yeah.
That's when, okay.
Yeah, I think there was a click.
Okay.
Because it hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. But in that hurt, and this is where in Jesus' love for us, he says he disciplines those he loves. There was mm-hmm. a disciplinary moment happening here. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like the consequences of Peter's sins, which is sometimes be different than discipline. Mm-hmm. There was a disciplinary moment. Jesus was having a, just like I would my son, right? Mm-hmm. Sit down, we're going to have a real conversation. What happened? What did you do? What do we need to do to deal with this, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus having that disciplinary moment with Peter in love. Mm-hmm. In a love.
Yeah, not
and,
condemned.
And as he was going there, as Peter began to realize the depth, and I think the third time it struck him, if Jesus is going to keep asking me, there's something clearly wrong. And I think the first hurt was, why would you ask me a third time? And then he's got to ask me a third time. Mm-hmm. And I denied him three times. And oh my goodness, what have I done to Jesus? And mm-hmm. I was so easy to want to just move past it. And mm-hmm. and then that sorrow, and again, it's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians.
But I just see grace upon grace then with the Lord, because he did need him to see it so that he could really feel what he had yes. done and then truly be able to answer with all honesty, I do love you yes. in the grief. But the fact that he did deny him three times and Jesus did have him say, I love you three times, it just feels like grace upon grace. Like mm-hmm. we just see so much mercy in Jesus with Peter. So.
And the fact that that Jesus is willing to just walk that path mm-hmm. with him. Mm-hmm. Jesus isn't going, come on, let's get yeah. going here.
Well, and the beautiful thing is we see this and he's going to feed sheep, and we're going to jump to Acts 2, we're going to see he's got a lot of sheep that he's got to take care of really coming. But then we jump into the rivalry that seems to be there between so we see it's even God is so gracious to Peter, but he's so gracious to us because we see this beautiful thing, we see this reconciliation, And then we see him being dumb again, because that's my walk with God. Yeah. That's, yes. you know, and so I'm just like, so I'm glad there wasn't a mic drop at the end of chapter 20. And these things are written so you believe, but this is what belief looks like. You're going, you know.
It's always, you're always.
Oh, that's good. I like this is what belief practically.
Yep.
We get to see it.
Sanctifying belief looks like. I like that, Tanya. That's a good.
Yep.
Well, that might show up in the sermon on Sunday. There you go. That's good. I like that.
Want to talk about fires?
I set you up early for fires.
Know,
you didn't go there.
I didn't go there. I didn't go there.
But, that's the beauty. Like, he keeps saying, so follow me again. Like, if there's anything people walk in this message, there is a point. We need two things. We need a realization, because I know I do, of real godly grief. We need to recognize that Jesus' way of dealing with sin is not just a big giant hug. It's okay. Everything's fine. Like he's, it's a hug with some hard things.
Yeah,
it's not, it's okay.
Stuff.
Everything's just fine. It's like some stuff happened. We got to deal with what happened and it will be okay as we deal with this, as I walk this with you and follow me.
And I think what I'm super excited about what you're doing is, this is a Sunday school Bible story. People read it, they see it, and it's so easy to think, well, I wouldn't deny Jesus. I wouldn't deny that you're my friend. If you and I were shopping, I'd say, no, Glenna's my friend. I wouldn't deny Jesus, but we do deny Jesus. And I love that you're going to really touch that in the sermon of what that denial really looks like. Yeah. So,
and that's really important, is that we talked about this in our with our preaching team throughout the process of this and really wrestling with. Josh even said it to me earlier today, like, it's so easy to say that I would never have eaten the apple. Oh my gosh, Adam and Eve, how silly and stupid were they? But you know, one of the things I said in Good Friday, that if we had been there, we would have been in the crowd yelling, crucify him, crucify him. We would have joined. Our sinful nature would have joined in with the rest of the sin, because that's who we really are in that process. And so to somehow think Peter, you know, Peter's sin was that he thought he couldn't be Peter. When we are so convinced that we cannot be Peter, you've already walked first step into being Peter. You've already walked there. And that's a hard thing to realize. And this is something that you guys talked about on the preaching team. Denying Jesus is not just denying Jesus. It's when I choose to turn off my alarm and sleep in instead of getting up with God and spending time with him, I deny Jesus. When I see someone in need, or the spirit might be prompting me to go pray for someone or go have a tough conversation that I feel like I just don't have time for, I deny Jesus. When I look at my wallet or my money in my bank and say, what are the things that this is for me instead of God? What do you want to do with all of this for you, no matter what it costs me? I deny Jesus. Like, this is how we are like Peter every single day and needing Jesus to come back and keep saying, but okay, do you love me? Let's deal with this one. And Jesus is gracious. He doesn't deal with every one of them at the same time. Like that's Jesus is so wonderful that it man, if he dealt with all my sin when I first came to Christ, or even dealt with all my sin after I'd been saved for like 4 years and gone through high school and developed all my sinful habits that came out of just my high school life, I just would have probably got beaten down. He's so gracious. And how he's still walking things with me. And then he's pointing out more things with me. And he's, how many different conversations has he had with me, like Peter around the fire? A lot. But it's good. It's love.
It's very, very good.
I think the one of the things that you talk about in this sermon is this idea that we easily can fall into the trap of thinking, well, this time it's just been too bad. I can't come back. Rather than knowing that Jesus is still gracious, he's still walking with us. He can't possibly, I can't possibly have taken care of everything today that I'm going to need to have for a month from now, 2 months from now, that I just need to walk and keep working and walk and keep working on it. And that it's going to be a process my whole life.
And in some ways, even thinking there is something that we could do that would just totally blow it, really shows how prideful we really are, because I can do something that even God can't forgive. Like, does that make sense? And so that
it feels like that in the middle of your grief,
absolutely,
and in the middle of your pain, and when you are surrounded by people who are more condemning than loving, which goes back to where am I at as a believer of many years? You know, am I just so bound up in my rules that I make you feel like, well, sorry, what you did, just God can never forgive that.
Yeah.
I don't say it out loud, but I imply it.
Okay.
I imply it.
Yeah. Longer looks will say it.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a good, fun podcast. So next week we have Pastor Billy. It'll be his last podcast with us, so you will want to tune in. Thank you. Bye-bye.